Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 224. O Lord, I would delight in Thee and on Thy care depend. To Thee in every trouble flee, my best, my ever friend. When all material streams are dried, Thy fullness is the same. May I with this be satisfied and glory in Thy name. Hymn number 224. Wendy from South Carolina will read from the scriptures.
I will read from the Bible, Ecclesiastes. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. 2 Corinthians. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one, thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let us now sing hymn number 148. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. And safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Hymn number 148.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other topics that need to be discussed, and learn how to practice better in our daily lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And it will also be available on our YouTube channel and on our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available to children just about anywhere in the world. It has its own dedicated teleconference number. Many of our Sunday school students don't live in the area, but they attend via telephone. This means that if you don't live in the area, but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend our Sunday school. Just call the church, and we'll give you the number for the Sunday school. And our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives made much, much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you do show up in person, you can bring the whole family. Our outreach stretches around the world. We have 21 different websites in 21 different languages that reach people just about anywhere in the world in a language that most people can be familiar with. And all of our websites contain the very finest of Christian Science literature. And everything that we offer on our websites is offered free of charge. Freely we have received, and freely we give. And I'd like to point out an article that's currently being featured on our English language website entitled God's Abundant Supply by Herbert Eustace. Short, excellent article. I highly recommend it. And we have another announcement. Our next Bible study is going to take place this coming Saturday, March 21st, and it will take place at the same usual time, 10 a.m. East Coast time. And I see that the Bible study questions are now on the church website, plainfieldcs.com. So take a look at the study questions, and please join us Saturday morning, March 21st at 10 a.m. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from miscellaneous writings, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Izzy from England.
I take advantage of the great privilege granted us to give my testimony for Christian Science through the pages of our much-loved journal. The blessing has been so bountiful that words can but poorly express my gratitude. A little over 6 years ago, a relative came from Denver, Colorado to visit us. She was a Christian Scientist, having herself been healed of a severe claim that MDs drugs and climate could not relieve, and her husband having been in the drug business, she had had a chance to give them a fair trial. My sister-in-law did not talk much on the subject, as I remember, but what was better, lived the truth before us as she realised it. One day, a blessed day to me, I ventured to open Science and Health and read the first sentence in the preface. I closed the book, wondering what more it could contain, this seeming to cover the whole ground. When my sister-in-law returned to the room, I asked her if I might read it. Her reply was, yes, but begin at the first. That night, after all had retired, I began to read. Within 48 hours, I destroyed all drugs, applications, etc., notwithstanding the fact that my husband had just paid $50 to a travelling specialist for part of a treatment. With the drugs disappeared ailments of 9 years' standing, which MDs had failed to relieve. I now understand that my sudden healing was due to my turning completely away from material methods, for I was convinced I should never use them again. I realised that God was my health, my strength, my life, therefore all. As I read Science and Health, I wondered why others had not discerned this truth, physicians, ministers, and others who had devoted their lives to benefit mankind. Yes, why? Because they had been seeking in the opposite direction to truth, namely, for cause and effect in matter, when all cause and effect are mental. I mention physicians and ministers because one class claims to heal disease, the other claims to heal sin. But Christian Science heals physically and morally. It contains all. Its leaves are for the healing of the nations. LBA, Memphis, Tennessee.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 22 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Substance. The golden text is from Proverbs. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The responsive reading, Hebrews. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, which were not made of things which do appear.
By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went.
For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter,
choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season,
esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Dede from Georgia will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Psalm. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wing. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. 2 Kings. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt. And live thou and thy children of the rest. Proverbs. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine income. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Matthew. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And when he was sent, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and men. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink,
nor yet for your bodies what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take there no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. 2 Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath brought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Carol will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Question: what is substance? Answer: substance is that which is eternal and incapable of discord and decay. Truth, life, and love are substance. As the scriptures use this word in Hebrews, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Spirit, the synonym of mind, soul, or God, is the only real substance. The spiritual universe, including individual man, is a compound idea, reflecting the divine substance of spirit. The substance of life, intelligence, truth, and love, which constitute deity, are reflected by his creation. And when we subordinate the false testimony of the corporeal senses to the facts of science, we shall see this true likeness and reflection everywhere. The universe, like man, is to be interpreted by science from its divine principle, God, and then it can be understood. But when explained on the basis of physical sense and represented as subject to growth, maturity, and decay, The universe, like man, is and must continue to be an enigma. Spirit is the life, substance, and continuity of all things. Spirit is the only substance and consciousness recognized by divine science. The material senses oppose this, but there are no material senses, for matter has no mind. In spirit, there is no matter, even as in truth, there is no error, and in good, no evil. It is a false supposition, the notion that there is real substance matter, the opposite of spirit. Spirit God is infinite, all. Spirit can have no opposite. That matter is substantial or has life and sensation is one of the false beliefs of mortals and exists only in a supposititious mortal consciousness. Hence, as we approach spirit and truth, we lose the consciousness of matter. The admission that there can be material substance requires another admission, namely, that spirit is not infinite, and that matter is self-creative, self-existent, and eternal. From this, it would follow that there are two eternal causes warring forever with each other, and yet we say that spirit is supreme and all presence. As God is substance and man is the divine image and likeness, man should wish for, and in reality has, only the substance of good, the substance of spirit, not matter. The belief that man has any other substance or mind is not spiritual and breaks the first commandment, "Thou shalt have one God, one mind." Mortal man seems to himself to be material substance, while man is image, idea. Delusion, sin, disease, and death arise from the false testimony of material sense, which, from a supposed standpoint outside the focal distance of infinite spirit, presents an inverted image of mind and substance, with everything turned upside down. In divine science, man is sustained by God, the divine principle of being. The earth, at God's command, brings forth food for man's use. Knowing this, Jesus once said, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink," presuming not on the prerogative of his Creator, but recognizing God, the Father and Mother of all, as able to feed and clothe man as he doth the lilies. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. It is not well to imagine that Jesus demonstrated the divine power to heal only for a select number or for a limited period of time, since to all mankind and in every hour, divine love supplies all good. The miracle of grace is no miracle to love. Jesus demonstrated the inability of corporeality as well as the infinite ability of spirit, thus helping erring human sense to flee from its own convictions and seek safety in divine science. The belief that God lives in matter is pantheistic. The error which says that soul is in body, mind is in matter, and good is in evil must unsay it and cease from such utterances, else God will continue to be hidden from humanity, and mortals will sin without knowing that they are sinning, will lean on matter instead of spirit, stumble with lameness, drop with drunkenness, consume with disease, all because of their blindness, their false sense concerning God and man. Soul has infinite resources with which to bless mankind, and happiness would be more readily attained and would be more secure in our keeping if sought in soul. Higher enjoyments alone can satisfy the cravings of immortal man. We cannot circumscribe happiness within the limits of personal sense. The senses confer no real enjoyment. In the infinitude of mind, matter must be unknown. All things beautiful and harmless are ideas of mind. Mind creates and multiplies them, and the product must be mental. The only excuse for entertaining human opinions and rejecting the science of being is our mortal ignorance of spirit, ignorance which yields only to the understanding of divine science, the understanding by which we enter into the kingdom of truth on earth and learn that spirit is infinite and supreme. Human capacity is slow to discern and to grasp God's creation and the divine power and presence which go with it, demonstrating its spiritual origin. Mortals can never know the infinite until they throw off the old man and reach the spiritual image and likeness. What can fathom infinity? How shall we declare him till, in the language of the apostle, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Man understands spiritual existence in proportion as his treasures of truth and love are enlarged. Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affections and aims grow spiritual. They must near the broader interpretations of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off. This scientific sense of being, forsaking matter for spirit, by no means suggests man's absorption into deity and the loss of his identity, but confers upon man enlarged individuality, a wider sphere of thought and action, a more expansive love, a higher and more permanent peace. When we realize that life is spirit, never in nor of matter, this understanding will expand into self-completeness, finding all in God good and needing no other consciousness.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 327. The God who made both heaven and earth and all that they contain will never quit his steadfast truth nor make his promise vain. Hymn number 327.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 36. Church of the ever-living God, the Father's gracious choice, amid the voices of this earth, how mighty is thy voice. Hymn number 36.
From the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 2 Corinthians. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Amen.